Greetings from New Hope in Olds, and glad to be able to be a help here and be a part of your assembly here. And a real big greeting from Lois Wright, and she wanted to make sure I said hi to everybody. So she definitely loves this church very much. So why don't we just start off opening in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you help me to be out of the way, but that your Holy Spirit would just continue to move in this place, to move through me, Lord, and that you would speak to us. And we thank you that your word never returns void, that there is power in it. And we are here just to glorify you, to talk about your word, and we thank you for it, Father. And we just pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receiving from you today, and that we would be changed by your word, by your glory, and in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So, as you can see, I want to talk about love relationship, and it was kind of interesting, all the your worship songs and everything kind of totally lined up with what I'm going to talk about. So you know God's in it, right? Especially the obedience song. It was just like, what in the world? So that was very cool. I still can't. God is so amazing. I was talking to some of the folks in our church getting some of the things ready there for the service, and we were talking about how, you know, we know so little about the Lord and about his goodness and his love, and you know, the scripture says, right now we know in part, but then later we will know in whole. And there's just so much to know, to understand of his goodness, of his love for us that we can't even fathom. And so I want to go a little bit into that today about his love and having a love relationship with him. Because I think we get kind of caught up on religion more than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we focus a lot on like the do's and don'ts of what religion dictates to us of what we should do, or our neighbors dictate to us what we should do. And rather than having a relationship and listening to the Holy Spirit speaking to us and allowing him to make those changes within us and falling in love deeper and deeper with Christ, that motivates us to that change, that transformation. So we need to really kind of get our head around the relationship part way more than the religion part. Because religion doesn't change me. Jesus Christ changes me. In Romans 12, 1 to 2, we see that, right? The transformation is him, not anything else. And it's allowing him into our lives and falling in love with him. If you could put on the next slide, that would be great. John 3, 16, 17. I'm using the New Living Translation, so if you wanted to follow along with that or not. But everything that we talk about today will be, all the scriptures will be on the slides. So John 3, 16 to 17. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, we look at this scripture, and a lot of times we take the first part, right? John 3:16. We've seen banners, we've seen, you know, there's everywhere, right? And the thing is that, you know, for the most part, if you have a sign that says John 3:16, the only people that are going to understand that are people that read their Bible. Right? The world doesn't understand that. The world's going, John 3:16, who's John? Right? And so, and we kind of push this whole thing about stuff and not really do the second part. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That's a vital peace that we should not miss. And it's a vital peace that we should actually try to live out. See, the only person in all of history and in the future that has any right to make any kind of judgment, really, on anybody is who? Christ, right? I like back and forth, so I may ask a couple of questions. So, but God sent his son into the world not to what? Judge the world, right? But to save the world through him. We need, as Christians who I hope are in love with Jesus Christ, to share that love to the world. Because I know for myself that I didn't come to be a Christian because of guilt and condemnation. That happened to me, and what that did to me, and I don't know about you, maybe you like guilt and condemnation, I don't know. But what it did to me was it pushed me further and further away from God. I was born and raised in the church, and I left it and had a crazy time and then came back. I could tell you about that another time, but the thing is, what got me to come back wasn't the church, but it was God revealing his love for me and drawing me to him. That changed my life. And the more I walk with him, the more I fall in love with him. And the more we should be falling in love with him, and the more the world should see that love in us, especially in these times that we're living in. We have ample opportunity, really, we have ample opportunity to show and share the love of Christ. For the most part, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of finger pointing, a lot of taking the speck out of somebody else's eye and leaving the plank in mine. Right? See a lot of that, which is sad. Let's look at the next slide, if we will. Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, that would be Jesus, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now, we sang that song, Obedience, right? And being obedient to the Lord's command. This is the obedience that that song is talking about. That we need to understand that. That everything, this is the foundation of Christianity. Without this, it's all worthless. We need to get that. We need to understand that. We need to, this it should be our whole focus in our lives. See, it says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do we? See, a lot of people think that love is emotions, and that's what the Bible is talking about, but it's not talking about it in that way. It's a verb. It's not a noun. See, there's four different types of love that that the Bible focuses on or talks about, some more than others, and the four different loves are eros, which is an erotic, passionate love, philia, love of friends and equals, which is where the brotherly love, Philadelphia, comes from, storge, love of parents for children, and lastly but not leastly, the most important, which would be agape. And this is what we're talking about here. This is a godly love, an unconditional love that can only come to us as an impartation from the Holy Spirit. This agape love could not come to anybody who is not a Christian. Romans 5:5 talks about that, how the Holy Spirit imparts his love to us. It's impossible for us without this to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek. I don't know about you, but you know, I do sometimes find it hard to love my enemies, to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to be the body and the bride of who? Christ. And we're supposed to be showing that to the world. It's the love that is given whether or not it's returned. It's the love without any self-benefit. That's a crazy love, right? See, the scriptures tell us that he loved us first, that he died for our sins. Our sins, not for our righteousness, because we didn't have any. And that we're supposed to go ye into all the world, right? And do the same. How can we do that? It's not natural, is it? Is it natural for us to do that? No, because we are born into sin, but we're redeemed, right? We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And like I said, Romans 5, it talks about the Spirit imparting this kind of love into us. And so we need to evaluate ourselves. That's the problem, I think, that we have as people, as church people, as Christians, is that there's not enough of that saying, Lord, you know, am I living the way that you want me to live? Am I showing the love that you want me to show? Next slide. I kind of want to focus and break down these a little bit. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Do we? See, he said you must. This is a command, right? The two what? The two greatest commands, right? That's what they are. This is not, well, maybe you should kind of. Right? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is deeper than just saying some sinner's prayer. There's no magic prayer that makes things happen. It's a dedicating yourself to him, falling in love with him, wanting more of him, meditating on that love that he has for you. What does it do? Like, do we do that? One of the things I say to our church a lot is, you know, if somebody was to look into your life and to see your life, hover around you for a few days, you don't know that they're there. Does your life show, would they know that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind? And I'm not saying that, well, that looks like that you're in the Bible all the time and you're doing this all the time and you're doing that, because those are just righteous rags, right? Because the Lord wants your heart, right? He knows and sees what's deep within us. There's no hiding from God. You know, we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all slogging through this life the same way as everybody else. And to anybody say, well, I'm, you know, without sin or whatever. It's just like, you're full of baloney. That's a sin. You just lied. Right? We're all just trying to make it through this life. And it's hard. And I don't understand how anybody really makes it through this life without having that relationship. Because life is hard enough, I know, with that relationship. I can't imagine going through this life without him in my life. So does our life show that? What's in our heart? You know, I remember there's a singer, Keith Green, from the 70s, and great singer, songs I still love today, said this one thing, and I thought it was great and stuck with me forever, was that, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. And he's right. But we tend to think that, right? Well, I'm doing the right thing. I've gone to church today. That's one for me, right? That's so far from what the truth of life with Christ is all about. It's not about doing good. It's about the heart. It's about falling in love with him because he's in love with us. He's deeply in love with us. We need to understand that. And what are we feeding ourselves? Like, what are we allowing into our lives? What are we watching on Netflix or Disney or cable, or which some people still do that, but anyway. But what are we allowing in our homes? What books are we reading? What are we meditating on? What are we allowing in our lives? What kind of games do we play? See, all those things speak to our soul. Like, don't be fooled. Everything in this world, there's always two powers really at force, and that's Satan and Christ. Those are the two powers, and then it's up to us to decide, hey, what are we going to feed today? Right? Are we really deeply in love with the Lord? I'm not saying that we should abstain from all those things and everything like that, but what's the priority? What's the big picture? What do you really want to be focused on? Do you really want to grow in your soul? Do you really want to grow in your soul? Are you really hungry for the Lord? Next slide, please. A second is equal important. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, I don't believe that anybody could love their neighbor without first loving who they are. And I don't mean who they are as an individual, but who they are in Christ Jesus. See, because it says, a second is equal important. Love your neighbor as yourself, not to puff you up. Not to love your neighbor because look at me, I'm so great. Look at what I did. I did this work and I did that work and I'm so great. But actually loving your neighbor, which is everyone, anyone that comes across your path, and it means unconditionally as well, that if they spit in your face, that you would still love them. And, you know, we have this weird idea of what love is. Well, you know, if they do that, I'm not going to help them again because, you know, they stole money or they took money or they whatever, or they took money and they're just going to go buy drugs. So I'm not going to do that again. Obviously not. But the thing is that, are we praying for them? Do we love their soul? See, God made us all in his what? In his image. We need to understand that. And that's not just Christians, right? That's the world, right? That's the human race. Our neighbor is everybody. That we have that ability as Christians to love our enemies, to love anybody because of the spirit that dwells within us. Amen? But do we develop that, or are we just like this?
No way. I'm going to not change for nobody.
Because sometimes that's how we get with God. Right? When we have a relationship with Christ, and we come to those crossroads of hardship, of loving others the way that Christ loved them, I think he's always there poking and saying, hey. And it's up to us then to receive it and say, okay, you're right, Lord. Forgive me. Help me to love this person because they are very ugly. And it's okay. We have this other weird thing as church people that we're not honest when we talk to God. And like I said before, you're not hiding anything from God. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your soul. He knit you together in your mother's womb. I think he knows you pretty good. Right? So we can come to him, to the throne room of God, and bear our soul. That's what he wants, right? He wants us to be real with him. It's a relationship. When I have a relationship with somebody, there's sometimes conflict, sometimes excitement, sometimes disappointment. That's part of the relationship, right? The thing is, I can go to him and yell and scream at him. That's why I love David. David is so great because that's what David did. He just came to the Lord and said, Lord, please, But he always ended with, but I know that you love me. I know that you care for me. I know that you only have good things for me. But how long, O Lord, must I be forsaken? How long, O Lord, must you leave me? How long will I go through this hellhole that I'm going through? Why can't something change, God? I know that you love me. I know. Why can't we just be real before him? Because you see, if we're real before our God, we will be free to be real in front of other people. The scripture says to confess your sins one to another, to the church. That's a scary thought, eh? We don't do that, do we? We don't do that because it's not safe to do that, because we will feel judged, we will feel pushed out, we will feel not worthy, we will feel all these negative things, horrible things about ourselves, and then we will believe them, right? And then I'm never going back to that church ever again, horrible place, right? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. Right? When we sin, are we supposed to run away from God? Or are we supposed to run to God? We're supposed to run to God. Why? Because he gives us forgiveness. He loves and accepts us no matter what. Right? What a beautiful Savior that we have. That's what we're talking about. That's what people don't understand. I heard one time somebody say, you know, the world has heard all about Jesus. The problem isn't that they haven't heard it. The problem is they haven't seen him. And how are they going to see him? Through us. Well, that, again, is another scary thought, isn't it? And it should humble us. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 13:4-13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never keeps up, never loses faith. It always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Wow. See, Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. And he wrote it about the love that God has for us. Amen? But he wrote it to the church for us to what? Just say, okay, that's good, God does that? Because that's kind of what we do, isn't it? We say, oh yeah, the love chapter, it's so great, it's so nice, it's so... Try walking it out. Because that's the point of it being there, is for us to walk it out. And I'm not saying that we can totally, because we can't totally. But there are a lot of things that we can. We can desire to live it out. Amen? We can desire to live it out with our spouses. We can desire to live it out with our children. We can desire to live it out with our people that we work with. We can desire to live it out with our neighbors. We can desire to live it out with everybody that we come across. That needs to be our heart. That's what the Lord is looking for in our lives. And it's hard. I know it's hard. But if that's our desire and we fall short, and we all will, right? But I'll give you a good example of falling short. I'm in an argument with my wife. And I want to be right, of course. Right? And so we're in this argument. And then God taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, Tim, you want this to go away? Yeah. Well, why? What's the point here? What's going on? Well, she's saying this and doing this, and I'm saying this and doing this, and he's like, "Okay, could you be wrong? Could you just say sorry and take the whole problem away?" And at that point in time, and this happens in mere seconds, right? It's a very fast conversation. God talks really fast. But he talks to your heart, right? So you know it's him, because you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to say sorry. And at that point in time, I have a choice to make, don't I? I can be obedient, or I can carry on. Because I know I'm right. Obviously, I should pick the other, right? Obviously, I should make peace wherever I can. We say things like, oh, what would Jesus do? Well, yeah, what would Jesus do? Why aren't you doing it? Right? We have... The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? Within us, right? It dwells within us. That's a pretty superpower, don't you think? And that's not saying that we can go ahead and do anything, but we can conquer these things in our life that contradicts God's word for our lives. Amen? And that's a matter of falling in love with him and knowing that he does this for us. God is patient and kind with us. Love, he's, you know, all this stuff, it's towards him. And then we need to show it to the world, right? Because that's what the two commandments are all about. It's about showing the love to the world. Because we're deeply in love. We're deeply in love with God. And that... It's saddened. It should sadden our hearts that people don't want it, don't see it. because it changes our life, and it changes our life for the better. It doesn't make it easier. In this world, we will have struggles. But he'll be there, right? Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through, he didn't say, though I take you out of the valley. He'll walk us through because he loves us. He knows that he has good things for us. That as we go through these things in our lives, that our lives will be changed, transformed. We will grow closer and closer to him. That's why James says to count it all joy when we go through trials. It's not because he wants us to go through trials. There's some crazy teaching out there that talks about going through trials and that you should just be happy going through trials and just pretend that you're happy going through trials. That's not what the scripture is talking about. The scripture is talking about you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hardships in this life, but count it joy, regard it joy, consider it joy. And then he goes on to talk about what to pray for wisdom through those things, right? And it's the outcome that we're looking for. And it may not even be here. It may be after. Like, we have a hope of where we're going, right? And it's a much better place than this one, where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. It's going to be awesome. We have something to look forward to. His love for us is so great and so magnificent that he wants to be with us. Next slide. John 13:34-35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Love your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So here's Jesus talking to his disciples before he is going to the cross. And we need to understand that this is a command not only to them, but it's a command to us as the church. So now I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Can you imagine the people of this community talking about your church or my church or any church about how this church is so unbelievable that they love each other? And it's just so amazing. And you could see it in their eyes. You could see it when they come together that they're excited and that they love Christ so much. And they show it by how much they love one another. And petty things like what the carpet color is going to look like doesn't matter. That they just love each other so much that they don't care about all this other garbage stuff. All they care about is just loving each other and sharing that and trying to get people in the world to see that awesome love that they have and that they experience within their own hearts. Wouldn't that be cool when the world says that? Like, I think that would be awesome. That's the kind of church I want to belong to, right? I want to be a part of that. That's what God's called us to be a part of, right? Where we can confess our sins one to another. Why? Because we love each other so much that I don't want to push you away. I want to love you even more. Because I know that love is transforming. That love, that deep love, he cares about you. He cares about your soul. He wants to be with you each and every day. That's so amazing. The God of the universe, who created everything, sent his one and only Son to die for us in all our sin. That's insane. That's an amazing love. Right? Like, seriously, that is an amazing love. And that if the world could see that, this has to be our motivation, right? That Jesus is saying, your motivation needs to be love. Your motivation needs to be to go show the world how much I love them. Don't try to clean up people. Just tell them I love them. Show them I love them. Holy Spirit, that's his job to clean those. You don't clean them up. You love them. You love them. You love them so much because I loved you. Like, it's crazy stuff. Like, really, just think about what Jesus went through for us. Like, it really is nutty. It is. It's an unbelievable love. That he did it for us, not to have religion, but he did it for us. I'm going to get rid of this. He did it for us to be close with us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to be a part of our lives. This is the gospel message that we need to get out to the world. And it's sad to think that it's kind of like the best kept secret. It doesn't make sense, does it? Like, when people come into your presence, they're not just coming to see you, they're seeing Jesus in you as well, right? Like, it's not just about you, it's about him. It's about dying to ourselves and living for him. Why? Because I love him so much. Because I know that as I do that, my life changes and grows, and I become this unbelievable person that he saw ahead of time. And that I can't wait. I can't wait to see him when my time comes. That it's going to be amazing. It's going to be glorious. And I want everybody to experience that. I don't want anybody in my life not knowing or not having that opportunity to come to know Christ. Not to come to my church. If the Lord leads them to my church, great. We'll love them and care for them. I care about building the kingdom of Jesus Christ, right? Let's get on fire for the love that he has for us and the love that he has for those around us. Amen? So, I just want to leave you with, I challenge you to, this week, just to be praying to God and asking him, Lord, I want to love you more. How can I love you more? I desire to honor you. How can I honor you more with my life? And through that, Lord, I desire for other people to come to know you. Amen. So if you haven't asked Christ into your life, because you know what? I know people that have gone to church forever and a day. And I sat down with them face to face and said, "Hey, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ in your Lord as your Lord and Savior?" And they say, "No, I never have." "Well, how long have you gone to church?" "Oh, 50 years." So I challenge you today, if you haven't, that you would open up your heart and just ask him to come and to be Lord of your life. It says, confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Amen? And I'm not going to lead you in some magical prayer or anything like that. That's between you and the Lord, and I would just challenge you to do that. So that's all I got for you today. So... Why don't we just pray? Father God, I just thank you for your word today. Lord, I just pray that you help us to grow deeper in love with you. Lord, I pray that you break our heart for the lost that don't know you. Lord, I pray that they would see your truth, your love for them. I pray that you help us to see more about how much you do love us and how much you do care for us and how much you do want to be with us. That you will never forsake us, that you will never leave us. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. There's nothing that can separate the love of Jesus Christ from us. Whoa, that's amazing. I thank you, Father, that you sent your one and only Son for me. That you sent your one and only Son for all of us. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would move in our lives. Speak to us. Lead us and guide us. We thank you for your word. Help us to love one another. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.